perhaps part of your weekend. If you're not going to be floating around looking at the hydros and the rooster tails, perhaps you'll be barbecuing. And when you do that, what do you bring to the barbecue? Do you ever take over the grill if it seems like the grill master is not paying attention? These are a couple of the questions Dan Pashman tried to answer when he looked into the unwritten rules of barbecue etiquette. Pashman hosts the Sporkful podcast, and he told me the questions his listeners wanted to know about the barbecuing right thing to do.
The number one question was about bring your own meat cookouts or barbecues, which apparently is a growing trend. And so a lot of people said, is it wrong to even throw a bring your own meat party? If you do throw one, what are the rules around how it should be executed?
Why would someone throw a bring your own meat barbecue?
Well, I guess a couple of different reasons. One could be cost. You know, if you have a lot of, you know, if you want to have a big barbecue and you can't afford meat for 50 people, that, you know, it's a way to conserve costs. Some people who are vegetarians want to host a barbecue, but they don't want to buy and cook the meat, but they also don't want to tell omnivores that they can't eat meat at the barbecue. And so they'll say, hey, look, we're going to light the grill. You want to bring meat? You're welcome to bring the meat and throw it on the grill.
Okay. Those are reasons. Are those acceptable reasons?
I think the vegetarian one is, although I think you can do a great barbecue without meat if you want to. The cost one, you know, so I thought that Trisha Bobita from Nerdette podcast, who was one of our guests in this episode of The Sporkful, she had a great point, which was, if you're worried about cost, hold the event in a neutral location. You know, tell everyone you're going to have a picnic at the park or the beach. And when you do that, then there's more of a communal attitude, like everyone's going to bring their own stuff. But when you host a party, you are undertaking certain responsibilities. There is an idea that you are going to give more than you receive, at least in tangible goods, when you host a party. And I do think that is sort of an idea that should be respected.
But if you host the thing, at least you're hosting it, you're providing a venue, you're cleaning up. So if you're just saying, come to a park and bring your own stuff, you're contributing almost nothing.
Well, then you're the organizer of a communal event. And that's different from hosting people in your home, where I think that there's a certain degree, you know, there's something to the idea of hospitality. People are coming to your home, you want to feed them something. And to say, like, come to my house for a meal, bring your own entree, is a little bit sort of like, I can understand, like, it wouldn't offend me per se, but I can understand how some people feel like, you know, you're not really pulling your weight as a host when you do that.
Right. You also brought up a good question about, is it ever okay to turn somebody else's meat?
Well, this was a big thing that we got, you know, in the context of bring your own meat parties. Let's say there's a big communal grill. There's not one person who's been charged with all the grilling. So maybe my friend Jim comes by, he drops a burger on the grill, and he walks away, and I'm sitting there watching my stuff, and I see that Jim's burger's about to be overdone.
In your opinion.
Right. Well, that's one of the sort of sub-issues, you know, what constitutes overdone. You know, one concern is you're kind of making a decision on behalf of someone else. On the other hand, it's like there are some basic elements. I mean, like if the outside of the burger is completely black, you know, it should probably come off the grill. So I think that maybe the happy middle ground there is you can try to go and find the person. If you know them, you say, hey, get over here. Check out your stuff. You know, it might be done. If you don't know that person, you could do an announcement in the park, you know, that you could get everyone's attention, make an announcement, kind of like if someone leaves their lights on, you know.
Wow, now you're calling them out pretty publicly.
Well, I think, you know, shame is a powerful motivator, Bill, and I think that, you know, people who overcook their meat, you know, they should think carefully about what they're doing.
We do a lot of seafood out here in the Northwest. Does it change the dynamics at all if we're talking about seafood instead of meat?
Well, yes, because seafood's more delicate and has I think that if you like your burger like I do, rare, medium rare, then a burger has a pretty narrow margin for error too. But seafood has an especially narrow margin for error. It's not so fatty typically. And it's very easy for a piece of fish to dry out on the grill if you don't watch what you're doing. So I do think that if you're the kind of person that's going to get a great piece of, you know, of salmon, let's say, from the Northwest and throw it on a grill at someone else's house and walk away and forget about it, you don't really deserve that piece of salmon. You know, you need to step up and respect the salmon and take care of it when it's on the grill.
Respect yeah. the fish. How about when it's not clear who should be staffing that grill?
Well, that's one thing that drives me crazy. I don't know if this happens to you, Bill, but like I have very little patience for any kind of group food gathering when it feels like no one's in charge. It drives me crazy because, you know, the indecision of the group sets in. I don't know if you've ever heard of this thing called the Abilene Paradox, but it's this idea like you have a group of people. In theory, they're outside Abilene, Texas. That's what it's named for. But you got a group of people and they're trying to decide, let's say, where to go to dinner or what to eat for dinner or what to grill. And when you have a big group, sometimes no one wants to be in charge. No one wants to be perceived as the one who's telling everyone else what to do. So they all kind of say, I'll do whatever you want to do. Even though they have their own opinions, they're just not expressing them.
We call that the Seattle process, so I'm kind of heartened to know what happens elsewhere.
Good, good. Okay. So I think in Canada they call it like a Canadian duel or something. and so nobody wants to step up and say, this is what we should do. And what ends up happening is that one person says, well, should we grill salmon? And everyone else says, yeah, okay, I'm okay with grilling salmon, because they don't want to, they want to go along to get along. And then the person who even suggested it didn't really want to do it, but they thought it was what everyone else wanted. And you end up in a situation where everyone's unhappy because nobody spoke up and said what they really want. And maybe I'm, you know, betraying my New York area roots. I'm the kind of person who's not afraid to say, I think we should do this.
Yeah, you need a Seattleites need a New Yorker at their barbecue. Yeah, at least one New Yorker.
The Seattleites would probably be content to keep it at one. Like maybe a quota would be a good idea. But one of the things that I really took away from this episode of The Sporkful about etiquette was also the issue of grill hoverers. People who hover over the grill, hover over the grill master, and kind of bug that person because they want their food sooner. And I think that maybe I have in the past been an inadvertent grill hoverer. I was just trying to be social, but I'll bet it was annoying at times. So I have resolved to try to lay back a little and not be a grill hoverer.
I was going to defend the grill hoverer because if you want to swim as long as possible, that's great for you. Your burger's getting cold, but I like it hot and fresh, and maybe I'm having a great time with the grill master.
I think if you're socializing with the grill master, I think the key is you got to read social cues. If the grill master seems to be happy for the company and happy that you're there, then great. But you should be sensitive to the possibility that you are distracting or annoying the grill master when that person is trying to focus on the task at hand.
Maybe that's the takeaway, that yes, you're at a barbecue, yeah, it's summertime, yeah, you're barefoot or you're showing your toe hair or whatever, but don't that doesn't mean you get to stop being socially aware.
Yeah, I mean, we still live in a society. We, you know, society has rules, and even in the summertime, we must obey them.
You must obey, says Dan Pashman, host of the Sporkful podcast, talking about summer barbecue etiquette, especially with the Northwest spin on it with the passive-aggressive salmon. We're tweeting out a link to his latest episode all about the P's and Q's and the do's and don'ts. Join us on Twitter, at KUOW